After Buzzers. They kissed. People died. Oh, my God. Season 2, Episode 6, El Camino de la Muerte. Stick around. We've got a lot to talk about.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
My bitch is bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up dope with a Uzi.
Like
my niggas are savage, ruthless.
Okay.
We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My bitch is bad and bougie, bad.
What's
cooking
the,
up
like,
dope
cholo,
with a Uzi.
Like, my niggas
are savage.
There we go. You guys, I know. Bad and bougie. Well, the ladies were super bad and bougie this episode. It was really a Teresa and
Isabella show.
With Here We Go, talking about El Camino de la Muerte, episode 6 of Queen of the South. And that song, Bad and Bougie, we didn't just randomly pick it, guys. There's an entire Spotify playlist that the Queen of the South, I guess their entire crew, just put together a song inspired by all the crazy shit that goes on in the show. So
I love that. I mean, as an actress, for me, like, every character I get, I end up making a Spotify playlist per character.
No way.
So if I have an audition, or, like, if I'm doing a show or a short film or whatever it may be, I'll do like a full playlist to get me in character. So I love that they have this for the show.
That's
I think
amazing.
Every show should do it. I think it's perfect.
No, because it gets you in the zone.
Yeah.
You know?
You walk differently. You present yourself differently just by music. So I feel like it's like such a like
Dang,
huge
that's
part.
That's good. Any other actors, use that. Well, maybe don't use it so that Candace will
I can be the only one.
Yeah. It's only her thing. Sold on there. But welcome, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead. Jump onto the live chat. We'll be reading your comments, theories, interacting with you guys. And you guys can find me on Twitter. I won't be tweeting at the moment, but after. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time. And Candace, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter and everything else at Candace R. Cruz.
Yeah. And the cast gets together and watches these episodes.
Which I love.
And sometimes
I'm obsessed
they watch
with.
Us. So if y'all want to help us out, tweet at the cast.
Invite.
Tell them to watch us right now. Get us that invite to those
parties.
We're great party guests. It's amazing. But
I mean, I like to, you know, have a little good time.
You know.
Yeah. I think we're a good duo.
All of the above.
All of the above. Do the little elbows up.
Elbows up. That's all I could think of. I was like, what do you do with Bad and Bougie? I feel like you have to look super
feel
badass.
Like you gotta just lean
know?
Back and be like, what?
Exactly.
I'm Bad and Bougie.
That's usually my take on everything.
There you go.
Oh my God. But getting into this episode, whew, like I said, it was really a Teresa and Isabella episode completely. I mean, my notes are so short for the other characters in this episode, but then you get to Teresa and Isabella, and I had like 2 pages.
Novels
each.
Of everything.
Yeah, just novels breaking down their character. But before we get into like breaking down characters, let's just break down the episode and talk about that. So we'll start with Bolivia. So we're still in Bolivia. You know, we had El Nacimiento de Bolivia, which we predicted was going to be kind of the birth also of Teresa.
Yes.
And
which
we were right.
Very right.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I don't know about you, this episode was not anything like I predicted it to turn out to be.
Not at all.
I thought it was going to be completely different. And El Santo actually, like, mystified me and made me kind of like, he was a very interesting character because he was not at all what I expected.
Let's talk about
something
him
completely different.
At the beginning of this, I expected him to be just this really dark, deceiving, which he was very dark, but I expected him to there to be more pushback from him in the storyline and kind of just to be this like terrifying man, whereas to me it was more his followers were terrifying and his actions were, but him as a person, like you said, like I was like, oh wow, like he's kind of wise in a weird and twisted way.
It was very fascinating because he was very intuitive as well. So I don't know whether that has something to do with like the religion or whatever it may be, the cult that he started. But the way he was so like, he was very religious in a sense. Like he's running this cult and running this like this cocaine, you know, rain and everything like that, but he's pure. He wants everything done right. He's very much like El Santo is not a name that you can be taken. It has to be given. So it was just very interesting to like see his like almost calming nature of things.
Yeah, I expected more like rash, kind of like the past like villains that we've seen through the cartels.
Yeah.
So yeah, way to go. This is actually one of the writers tweeted at us last week.
Yeah.
This entire episode was written by Ryan O'Nan, who plays King George.
Ooh, King George.
Like, that's amazing.
I love him so much. He's literally
my favorite character. But dang, like all the twists and turns and flashback sequences of this episode. The man is a genius. I mean, I know there's a team behind him, but
Whole show is genius, and I love that it's almost like it's all so fluid, but since everyone's writing their own take on it, it's kind of like interesting to see how each episode's a little twist of whoever's doing it. You know what I mean?
Like their artistic like voice and specialty that they throw on in there.
Yeah.
It's so great. But we've got, and I like to call them the Power Three.
I wrote the trio.
Did you really?
Yes,
see? There we go.
Every time I wouldn't write out, I was like, I'm just going to stop calling them all their names. I'm just going to say the trio.
I was like, no, just the Power Three, the Super Three, whatever you want to call them.
The race to the third.
P to the power of third. Is it to the third power or the power of three?
I don't know.
I was not good at math.
I wasn't either, but I'm just thinking like race to the two, race to the three. I don't know.
Whatever. Power of three. I want to say it wasn't even the power of three. It was really
power
like the power of one, because the boys were complete supporting characters this entire episode, which I like that they wrote it that way.
Right.
Teresa literally called all the shots. The first person to take off running in the courtyard scene when Teresa wakes up the little girls with the terrifying mask.
I hate scary movies, and all I could think of was like, oh my god, this is gonna like freak me out. I'm gonna have nightmares. Like, there's gonna be masked children coming at me tonight. It's so weird.
It was weird. And even the fact that these little girls are dressed in like devil's horns but then have angel wings, I think really played to what we were talking about earlier with Ensanto's like twisted, in his way he's doing things pure of heart and he's a saint and he's like glorious and beautiful.
La familia, you have to have the blood runs through La Familia. Mm-hmm. So his weird, It's like the blood of his enemies makes the family stronger.
Yeah. It's this weird, he thinks he's doing twist. Right, but he's, but then you've got the devil side of him too, which I like that they displayed that with the like, costumes. That's
and
amazing.
Even in the book from last episode, when you opened it up, it even said something like the inferno of sin brings out, like, there was some line that we were trying to talk about, but it was basically talking about the good and the bad.
It's a lot of like blood for blood, which we see a lot of this episode.
Yes.
But, I mean, just going back, Teresa is the first one to run out of the courtyard. Mm-hmm. She's the first one to jump up to strategize with El Santo when he doesn't want to give them the small amount of coke that they wanted. He wants to give them an entire metric ton.
Which is insane. Like,
that's a lot. In a
week. A truck full.
Yeah.
A truck full.
They have to sell all that within a week back to him. Or at least get payment back to him and still be selling it on the side. If they make it out.
And how much did we ever find out what the price was we going to be of a metric ton? Dear God. Wait. I can only imagine.
Oh, it's probably,
like,
yeah.
Millions.
If anybody knows.
Let us know.
We won't judge you.
Thanks, Emily.
Emily said, y'all look so beautiful.
We're very springy, summery today. We match.
We do.
Look at the light colors.
We just showed up. Hey.
Hey-o.
We're on the same
wavelengths.
Wavelengths.
Yes.
There we go. Woo. My brain is not there.
Sorry to one off. We love you, Emily.
No,
thank you for always watching.
We do love you, Emily. You're amazing. Always so loyal. Like somebody else is always loyal. James.
I'm still Team James.
Yeah.
Like this whole episode was like a back and forth between the relationships with Guido and James.
Guido's like out of my
book over
now.
Him.
Completely.
He just needs to leave.
I was ready on that. Okay, so we do basically what happened. Let's go back to Teresa real quick.
Yes, yes,
we can
yes.
talk to the boys because I'm getting distracted because who doesn't want to talk about great looking like men? But Teresa ends up, you know, bargaining with El Santo for this metric ton. He says, okay, well, you sinned when you tried to escape, so now it's blood for blood. You have to pick one of the two of the guys to sacrifice. She chooses herself.
Which, in true Teresa fashion, she has always done
that. Of course,
that
she wasn't going to choose another guy.
No.
And I like that James was kind of like, whatever about it. Like, he knew, like, I felt like he knew
she would get out of it.
That she would get out of it, and he trusted her. Whereas Weddle was the first one to freak out and be like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And, like, doing exactly what El Santo originally had put
planned
into their brains. Yeah.
Which I enjoy about James in the sense of, like, everyone automatically jumps to, oh, he wasn't trying to protect, blah, blah, blah. He's not manning up. But at the same time, what you made, like, your comment of him trusting her, mm-hmm. it's almost like he knows that she's capable and that she will be able to get out of it. Like, he has trust and faith in her.
Yeah.
After seeing her do it, like, so many times, which I think is even more respectable
mm-hmm.
at the same time. Like, I'm a powerful woman. Like, thank you for believing in me and letting me, like...
Exactly, yeah.
Do my thing. Thank you, sir.
We've seen Feminism James. They need to start, need to start a hey girl for James.
Ooh.
And forget Ryan Gosling. They just need James. To do it for Peter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That'd be the best. Because we see so many of, like, the most, like, guys are like, ugh, feminism, da-da-da. But I feel like
But they don't even understand the word feminism yeah. is the problem, too, mm-hmm. you know?
And James is just like, he understands it. He just lets it go and says, she knows what she's doing.
I'll step in when she's I need to. Exactly. Like, I'll protect you when, like, I need to. But mm-hmm. I don't need to protect you right now.
Exactly. James. Mm. Get yourself a James.
Everybody needs
That's
a James.
What you need. Seriously. But yeah, and then switching into the boys mm-hmm. now. So we have James and Widow, this consistent, like, tension between them in the last episodes. We finally see it just, like, breaking apart and erupting completely. We get flashback sequences because Teresa eats the beetle that El Santo forcibly puts into her mouth.
Which that whole, mm-hmm. like, can we kind of, I know we were talking about the boys, but at the same time, like, talking about the beetle. That whole, would we call it a seance? Not even
not
a seance, but
maybe
like,
just like a
ritual.
A cult ritual, yeah.
Yeah, of some sort. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, her taking the communion and getting like the, like a lot of, I mean, I come from, I'm sure you do too as well, like Catholic, Christian mm-hmm. background, just growing up as a child of like, it was very strategic the way that they placed it in there of like him being at a santo. So all mm-hmm. of it had so many different ties to things that like we all recognize.
Yeah.
From that, and like it was really creepy
was
with
weird,
the blood cross
of it, yeah.
and the body of, and it was the beetle. It was just very fascinating to me.
I think I wrote that in my notes. I was like, oh wow, this is like a nod in a weird way to Catholicism, which is huge in Latino culture.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I think mm-hmm. that's why El Santo did it, is because I mean, it's Catholicism is one of the oldest. One of the oldest, not the oldest, but mm-hmm. one of the oldest religions, and especially in Latin culture and Latin America, like that is it.
Yeah.
So just to see him nod at it, of course you're going to get followers.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I just yeah, it was
scary
very interesting.
Scary followers,
but I mean, and it was a little bit more of like intense. Mm-hmm. A little is probably an understatement, but it was more intense than anything.
It's like the dark, dark, deep, dark side.
Dark
of religion.
Side,
yeah. And with through eating that beetle, mm-hmm. she gets these flashbacks now, or not flashbacks, but future visions,
which we didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
I thought like the way that they had it set up, which I thought was brilliant, is you get there and then you're like, oh, she wakes up from a dream. Was she dreaming?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote down something where I was like, but wait, she may not be able to see the future because of the beetle. She may be able to.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I can't tell if it's a dream or if it's a prediction. I don't know.
It's like some Inception.
I literally
concept.
Put, but wait, dot, dot, dot.
Because mm-hmm. I thought that the first time Güero dies because they run into La Capitana's mm-hmm. army. And I was like, well, that was a sad way to go. Like, we were both... I screamed in the studio, unfortunately.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was like, wow.
It was very
really,
anticlimactic.
Uh-huh. I wish he would have had... I feel like he should have died with more dignity. As much
yes.
as at this point I don't like his character, I think he's been such an important part of the story that he deserves more. So that was kind of like, oh, really? Like,
yeah.
That's how you guys are going to do it?
Kinda...
But then, no. They twisted it completely. And
twice!
Twice. And we go back, and it turns out that they're driving down El Camino de la Muerte again, nod to the title, literally replaying the same scene. You can tell that Teresa's like, what the hell is going on?
It's like, what was it, Groundhog Day?
It was, yeah. Kinda
literally
like a Groundhog
every
Day.
Single time. Wait, I just lived this.
Mm-hmm. And we see the white power suit that Teresa is also back.
Yeah, we haven't seen mm-hmm. her in a while. It's been, what, two episodes, I think?
I think so, yeah. Two episodes. So she's back. So she tells, when Güero dies, mm-hmm. they put his body in the back of the truck, and James is reassuring Teresa that they'll bury his body back at home, you know, consoling her. It's okay. It's going to be fine. He tells her to go to sleep. White power suit Teresa, I don't know what else to call her, Queen Teresa, there we go. Queen Teresa says, like, no, get up, while holding the beetle in her hand. And then we see the same, like we said, damn scene happen again. But this time,
Guido
kills James after he kisses Teresa.
Right? Mm. So, then, can we jump ahead to talk about, like, when she talks to El Santo? She obviously, like, wakes up again.
Yeah.
And now she's back where, like, El Santo's lair or whatever she's at.
It's like chapel, yeah.
But his lines were so, I feel like, telling. Because he's like, you are pure of heart. She said, you killed me with the beetle. He said, only the beetle would have killed someone not pure of heart. Mm-hmm. You're pure of heart, blah, blah, blah.
Which reminds me, isn't that like an old like folklore thing with of something like poison related? I don't know what story it's a part of, but
I think there's a lot of like, a lot of stories are based off of that. If you're pure of heart and you're antagonist or protagonist.
Protagonist, then you will survive.
Will survive. Uh-huh. But I found it interesting where he like kind of chides like, beware of the road, mija, and then goes on later on to say there's still a Judas. Mm-hmm. So the way that he's like, she has now foreseen what he just told her. I feel like the part where Guido kills James, I feel like was almost a prediction of where he said, that's just my opinion.
No, yeah.
Of like, there's a Judas in your midst, and he's walking by Guido at the same time, and then that has already happened. It was just like,
no, it's a total foreshadowing.
Yes, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, even at that point, that's when I'm like, okay, like, Guido, you're, like, y'all could get rid of him.
Yeah, we can just buy Guido. I'm sorry. Leave him in Bolivia. We thought you were gone a long time ago. Just stay away.
No.
I'm sorry.
You know, I want him to die with more dignity this next time if they kill him off. But I'm kind of over his character personally.
I can't imagine. Uh-huh. But I still think he should die with dignity. So within the next few episodes, Godspeed.
Just because we said that, he's not going to die until like the season finale
or season three. He'll make it through just at the end in the cliffhanger.
It's we'll that like, one character that every time you're like, please, like, kill him off.
What is she?
Emily says, oh, who do you guys think the Judas is? It's
Guido. It's Guido.
Uh-huh.
Duh.
We definitely think it's
That's what I think.
It's not going to be James.
No, it's not going to be Teresa.
If it is James, that'd be a huge twist.
And a blow to my heart.
It would kill me
just
a little bit.
I would die inside a little bit.
But I'm 99.9% sure it's Guido.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
There's no one else.
No.
Or maybe they set us up. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who freaking knows? I have no idea. But then just continuing with Bolivia, and then I promise we will talk about Mexico and Dallas.
And
that's
Isabella.
A big one. Yeah.
We love you, Isabella. We love you, Sandy. You.
You're an amazing actress, homegirl.
Seriously, love you.
But so they turns out that they are actually in real time now, driving down in Camino de la Muerte. No more flashback scenarios, thank God.
I was almost waiting for it, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, God.
Here we go again. Yeah. We expect it in, like, every movie at this
point.
You're
like, okay.
Another scene over and over and over. No, just kidding. So this time, they all kind of separate when they run into another truck, but it's not an army truck. James finds out that they've been set up. Teresa runs into La Capitana. And to me, this, just going into character description a little bit, this was the time that Teresa, this was her turning point.
Yeah.
Because La Capitana literally has her at her throat, is about to kill her. And she gets this flashback of
everything.
What did you think of that flashback sequence?
I think it was a long time coming. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of those where we've even mentioned this a lot of like, we were wondering when the turning point was going to happen where she would just snap. And at first we thought it was when Guido would die, that would be the turning point, or that she would kill him or all this other stuff. So it was fascinating to see that it wasn't either of those, but she still had her like come to Teresa moment where she just, I mean, it was inevitable to snap.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it made her realize, like, she is still pure of heart, but at this point, like, you have to one-up and protect yourself. Like, so many people are after you, like, you just gotta go.
Because in the past, I mean, even when people have literally been at her throat about to kill her, she finds a way to bargain
with them.
Just
relaxes or like, something.
Strategize. Yeah. And this time she was like, no. She went full rogue, just completely starts beating her.
Yeah.
She's covered in blood, which I thought was... Like, storyline-wise, because it's going to sound really morbid if taken out of context, but storyline-wise, it was beautiful the way they chose to display that. And the power that we see within her, just walking out, grabbing the gun towards the end, Not even
I love
talking.
That
she
shot.
Doesn't even talk to the boys. Ugh. Literally just looks at them, turns around, and walks back to the truck. I was like, damn.
It was so amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, the snapping point as well was, I think she started figuring out that with the negotiations and everything else, you can always get something out of that. At mm-hmm. this point, La Capitana had nothing to do with anything. Like, there was no point. Screw innocence and saving innocent lives at this point. Like, mm-hmm. you've already threatened me. You've threatened my life. You've threatened the lives of others. You killed someone that I cared about or semi-cared about.
For, like, a day.
For a day. Yeah. But either way, you killed a person. Mm-hmm. Like, screw you. You're literally going to take my life? Fine, I'm going to take yours first.
Yeah.
Bye.
The queen is... She's arrived.
Yes.
The queen has arrived. There we go.
And it's going to be our hashtag, everyone. Just add that. Hashtag the queen has arrived.
And the queen has arrived. And the princess has also arrived. Hey, Isabella. So going.
So waiting on that one.
Damn. I love the writing for this character because, and it's not just because Sandy was here, I promise.
We need to have her back again.
We do.
Sandy, come back.
We have a whole new batch of questions now.
So exciting. Have Rosie back as well. Uh-huh, love
please.
That duo.
Rosie Cordero is the best.
Yes.
So Isabella also gets her turning point this episode. Yes. She finds out, thinks her dad's cheating, and we had
Jimena, wasn't he, though?
Mm-hmm. He was. It's
because this doesn't seem like it's a first fling kind of thing.
No, but I feel like that was Camila and Epifanio's relationship at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're separated. Mm-hmm. You've made your peace.
I'm going to sleep with people. You're going to sleep with people. But when we get together, and we'll have our like nights of passion and that's it.
Which have they?
They've had like two.
They danced.
No, they had this whole sex scene. You don't remember? It was like a few... Was it their last season?
It was last season. Again. That's what it was. Yeah. That's why I was like, wait a second.
It was a while ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
So I feel like that was their relationship at this point. Like, for Camila, it was purely business. Epifanio, it's mostly for his pride and his macho
ego.
Masculinity.
He's a man.
Ego. Yeah. Like, I need my woman with me. But I feel like they really didn't have a relationship outside of passion.
What?
In my opinion. Epifanio and Camila.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think even if you flash back to season one, like, you knew the relationship was over the moment she walked out. Like, that it was done.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa saw them do the breakup. I think at that point, she had already solidified that she no longer had any feelings for the man. Mm-hmm. And hadn't for a while.
Yeah.
So.
She's like, this is my
this
life
is business.
Now.
This is me.
Camila. So strong.
So
I love
good.
It. But, you know, Isabella sees, we have actress Jimena. I should have written down her last name, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
Let me see.
She's a, I believe, telenovela actress, also making her crossover, just like Michelle Duval did. So she plays the mistress to El Gobernador.
And on their Instagrams, they're actually, like, doing a great job of, like, kind of foreshadowing her and everything, which I love.
They played her up really well, and I think the actress did an entire like takeover on the Queen of the South Instagram, so go check that out, guys. She's got some fun like behind the scenes shots for all of you to see, and who doesn't like behind the scenes shots of their favorite show?
I love it.
I'm like, it feels like I'm there. It's great. That was a weird voice. So
I feel like I'm there.
I know. I was getting real into my Mexicana side. So Isabella, you know, her turning point, she's over it. People are treating her like a child. She has this beautiful moment with Camila where we think this is it. They're like reigniting that like mother-daughter strong relationship they used to have. And it breaks within like a few hours.
Not even a few hours. Yeah. It was like dinner time, done.
Yeah,
bye.
She cooks some bomb chilaquiles, which is making me hungry because who doesn't love those? And which a very signature Mexican dish for those who didn't know. And you know, they have this beautiful moment where she's like, "Mom, Dad's cheating on you," and thinks like her and her mom are gonna bond now. And then Camila just breaks it down for her completely. And
so
I,
sad.
Which I like that we even got a little bit. I don't know if you caught this. I'm sure you did. It was a foreshadow when Kike was talking to Isabella on the jet. He was saying, she said to him, like, "Oh, Olivia wasn't always like this, but after her parents died, she kind of like went down the wrong path." Mm-hmm. So it took like something tragic to happen
for her to go down.
For
that
her
path.
To go down sex, drugs, and alcohol.
But to be honest, though, I feel like. In a way, I can understand Isabella's side because she's very intelligent.
Yeah.
And she's very observant. Observant and pays attention to every little detail. And I think, you know, in high school, you obviously have the peer pressure and whatnot. But I think she's being very smart about it. I don't think that this will be like a longstanding of her doing it. Mm-hmm. I think it will ultimately be like her outsmarting it. She's like, okay, I've done it. I know how to fit in and like pretend to fit in.
Yeah.
But I also think she's still better than that.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where she'll go, whether she'll like start running and partnering up or if she'll like go into that path, but I still don't think that she will.
She won't go like full party girl.
No. Okay. I don't think she'll do that. I think she'll like do it enough and then she's like, this is stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I doing this? But she'll still outsmart it to where she'll like fit in with the crowd.
Oh, I like that. That's a little bit of her mom.
Yeah.
Coming out.
I mean, it's like the trick of where when you're in college and you don't want to drink, you just carry around the cup and you have nothing in it. It's the same concept. I was waiting for her to put it under her tongue and spit it out, to be honest with you.
What if we find out later? No, that would be pointless for a later scene, but that'd be funny if that did happen.
I think I found the girl that we were looking for, Jimena Duque.
Jimena Duque.
Is that her?
Yeah, I believe that's her.
Plays Eva. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There she is. So amazing actress who just kills it and shows a lot.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she carried her own in that.
And only in one scene.
Was it one scene?
Yeah.
One scene that she carried.
But I think the fact that they are doing so much of a feature on her within the Instagram and like making this big hoopla about this, I think that she's going to play a huge role.
Oh yeah, definitely. They wouldn't let her take over Instagram
if she wasn't
very interactive
be
with the fans. Yeah, they want the fans to like love her and get a hold of her and follow her.
I have an idea for predictions.
Save it.
Sorry guys.
So basically, you know, Isabella, her turning point, we don't know what's gonna happen with that. I'm hoping it's more along the lines what you were saying, where she does become that like strong intelligent woman who knows how to kind of overpower people.
I feel like she just reads that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, sometimes you're obviously too smart for your own good when you're that age and you just want to release. But at the same time, I feel like he even called it out on the plane too, the boyfriend, where where he's like, you're not like the others, you're above it all, or you're smarter or something. That's what I respect about you.
Until she got on top of him, then he was okay, let's go.
But I mean, could you blame him?
Yeah.
But I think that he kind of foreshadows that as well.
Mm-hmm. Which I like his character a lot.
Because he's good.
Yeah. He's on Isabella's side. He's not just on the partying side, which I originally thought was going to be his role. I like that they keep proving me wrong in those little
areas. Likes a little bad boy.
She does. But who doesn't?
This is true.
It's true.
Very true.
Oh, sorry, Mom.
Love you.
Love you. Thanks for instilling values in me. Oh, my God.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, essentially, I feel like that's basically it. Like this, like we said at the beginning, was a very Teresa Isabella episode. We do see at the end, Camila calls the lawyer over to make her feel good, which... Girl, you could do better.
Could do better, but I get where you're just like at that point where you're like, I just want to forget everything right now.
So we saw, I mean, again,
everybody has their vice. Yeah. At least it's that versus drugs.
Isabella continues to be her weakness to the extreme.
Well, of course.
Because no time have we seen, like, Epifanio has done her wrong and she's like, ah, screw him. I'll do something to get back at
him. But that's your child. Yeah. And that's not only your child, your daughter that, like, you share blood with and you see so much of yourself in her.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she's so connected, is that she does see so much, like, drive and ambition and stubbornness and all of her amazing qualities within her daughter. And the fact that, like, I think the worst part, and I think we've said this before too, the worst feeling a parent could feel is like for your child to be disappointed in you or to not like just love you or have a relationship
like
with you.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's literally her breaking point.
I like that it was shown, the emotion was shown, that even though she said, make me feel good, when they panned to her face while it was all happening, it was just
emotion
nothing.
All the eyes, I'm telling you. Like I said last week, it's all in the eyes, and it was, like, devastating.
And these actors kill. Which, is it, as an actress, is it hard to, I feel like it's hard to capture emotion that you're displaying through dialogue into your, like, facial expressions? Or is that not for everybody?
I think it depends. I mean, again, there's, like, if you really go into the world of acting, there's a lot of different ways of training. There's different methods that people use and whatnot. So I think it totally depends on the actor. But for for the way I've been taught and the way I've been practicing and stuff is all about, like, and Sandy as well, because we go to the same acting studio, is that you're bringing a part of yourself there. So if you just believe that this is your reality and that you're bringing, you are the character can't breathe without you. Mm-hmm. So if you just believe in your scenario and believe in your situation, like, of course you're going to feel that and you're not going to get rid of it. Like, the feelings will come. Mm-hmm. If you just allow yourself to be vulnerable and open to the fact that this isn't, pretend that this is a real scenario, how would you react to that? Mm-hmm. And then it's all right there.
And it just connects one to one.
That
other.
Simplicity of just being mm-hmm. there and being present, and someone is giving you everything. You're getting everything from the other actor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's why Sandy said it was so easy to work with the actress that plays Camila. I'm blanking out on her name.
Veronica.
Mm-hmm. Is because she gives so much. And that's the best thing you can give to your partner, is to just give all of you. And I think that that's like what Veronica gives and the whole cast gives. So yeah. I think that's why they have such an incredible show. It's because everyone that comes on is so willing and able to, like,
they give it their all mm-hmm. to the
and believe in the scenario and mm-hmm. be there.
And yeah, there's not one actor that has passed, even like a small role, where I'm like, oh, no, like, they could have done better.
I don't see them acting, mm-hmm. which is when I love it.
You're blown away every mm-hmm. time. And you feel as an, like, audience member, as a viewer, that you are, like, in the scene with them.
And I think that's a true testimony mm-hmm. to, like, any good show or movie is when it's an escape, because that's yeah. the whole point of film is exactly. escapism. And to realize that these, like, to feel a relationship with these people and to feel some type of connection, whether or not you've lived through that scenario or not, mm-hmm. you know?
So. Oh, we got real deep.
We did, and I really like talking about this.
No,
if you can
I
tell.
Like it. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun just to hear. Let's jump into the live chat before we go to yes. predictions. We got Emily. I love you, girl. She says, Camila's finally wearing something with color other than black.
This That's is true. True. That yeah. blue looked good on her.
Uh-huh. And what Emily got from the sex scene was, it was more about Camila's daughter than Epi, which says a lot about how serious Camila is about her business. Yeah.
I think so, too.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good observation, Emily. That's amazing. But let's jump into predictions, because I want to hear what you had to say.
Wait. Oh, there we go. There I was go. Waiting.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Oh, it's...
Okay, now, I didn't... I completely forgot it.
Oh, no.
What were we talking about at that point?
Oh, my gosh. I had to back... Can I rewatch what we
did? What did we just do?
It was Camila or Isabella? Because that's the topic that we were on. And you were like, ooh, I got a prediction. Here, I'll give mine.
Okay, and give yours
you
and it'll come back.
Yours.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it was between Teresa or...
Was it a Teresa?
Dang it, it'll come to me. Okay, I'm sorry. Dang it, it was so good too.
I'm predicting next episode, y'all. Bye, Widow.
Yeah.
Peace out. It was nice knowing you. Not gonna happen. I can't, like, even put together or, like, strategize how they would kill him, but I definitely see some way, somehow, that'll be the end of him. Just mm-hmm. because I do think, even though he wasn't the turning point for turning Teresa into Queen Teresa, I think that he's going to play a part into that aftermath.
Yes,
agreed. Or his death will play a part into that aftermath. And then, I guess with characters that we didn't see this episode, but El Comandante... and Epifanio. I want to...
That's what it was. Thank uh-huh. you. That's
Epifanio?
What I
needed. Okay.
It wasn't even about even the two main characters. It was about his mistress.
There we go.
Can I jump in real quick
yes,
so I don't
go,
forget?
Go.
Okay. So I think that the mistress, and this is like a complete twist and so soap opera-y, but follow with me mm-hmm. here. I feel like she is going to end up somehow overthrowing Epifanio.
Oh.
I feel like she wouldn't have, like, come into this and saying El Gobernador and doing all this, like, thing. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't be such a focal point if she wasn't going to be such a huge part within the cartel.
Yeah.
And I feel like she'll almost outsmart either Epifanio or El Comandante.
Oh, I'd love to see her do both.
I feel like since it's such a, like, heavily driven, like, female, like, group mm-hmm. and the whole concept of the show, I feel like that is something that would come down the line. And Isabella already hates her. So if we're pushing it forward even
yes,
more,
uh-huh.
this is so, like, completely like, fan fiction stuff. But
no,
this is just
the best.
In my mind.
Yeah.
Is that Isabella is going to start partnering up with her mama. And then she hates her dad because he was cheating on her, quote unquote, and hates the mistress. And those two are going
to
go.
Forget my prediction. I want that one to
That's
happen.
That's what it was. Yeah. Sorry. No, I was just like, it's so fan fiction y and so soap opera-y, but I could almost like.
I mean, this used to be a soap opera. So.
Exactly. So I feel like there would be something with, like, the mistress would not be a huge character. It would literally be like, oh, bye. Thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I saw you. Bye. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be this whole. Either she'll partner with Epifanio and, like, overturn, or even partner with El Comandante and Epifanio gets thrown over the two of them. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to be something that's, like, trying to shake for power.
Yeah. I mean, that goes right into what I was going to say. Yeah. I was going to say, I see the El Comandante coming more into power over Epifanio. I think he's going to become less and less of a main character throughout the season, for sure.
Yeah. Because, to be honest, like, as much as we see, like, Epifanio being, like, the leader and the stronghold, like, Camila, I feel like, has always been the leader of everything that he's done.
Like, he's just the face.
He's the face and the puppet. So I feel like he needs another strong woman in his life. And she was always, like, running his schedule and everything else, apparently, is what I took from, like, their conversation. So I feel like he needs another powerful woman in his life.
There we go.
Yeah.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Boom. Let's see if that happens. Yeah. So far, we're doing pretty good on our predictions. We're only, like, a little off.
There's, like, short, like, oh, that person didn't say these exact words.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
So look at us. Smart.
Hey, USA. I think we're doing pretty well. You should throw us on the writing panel there.
Seriously.
We've got the predictions.
Y'all want to start your own after show?
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. Too much. Too much, like, self-promotion. And very shameless about it, too.
So sorry. We were just teasing.
Sorry, guys.
We love you guys. And I love the show, like, so much. I can't talk about it enough. And, like, Emily and all you guys that come in the chat, like, I love
amazing.
That there's so many, like, huge fans of this show.
There are, which is amazing. Because even people that don't join us in the chat, I read, like, the comments after. We have people on Twitter, like, writing to us. So, I mean, that's to carry a show with that big of a fan base for not only one season, but to carry them over to season two is amazing.
And all the new fans, too. Yeah. Like, I was a new fan, and I binge-watched season one and came into it because I didn't hear anything about it. So the fact that they're bringing in so many new fans with their promotion and the way that they've been advertising the show is fantastic.
Yeah, their marketing team is insane. Way to go. That's
good
a
job,
hard,
guys.
That's a hard job, so that's really good. But, I mean, besides praising the crew and everybody, which we could do for a long time.
Yeah, give us another hour and we'll be fine.
That's all we have for you guys tonight. Thank you so much for joining us here to talk about El Camino de la Muerte. We'll be here next week, and we do got some guests lined up, not next week, but in the future for you guys. So stick around for that. Look around on Twitter. We'll be updating you on who's going to be jumping into the studio with us. And make sure you don't just have to watch us on YouTube. If you're stuck in traffic or, you know, taking the subway, wherever you are, or walking somewhere, you can listen to the entire podcast through iTunes, through Stitcher, just basically anywhere you can find a podcast. Queen of the South with AfterBuzz TV, we will be there. And yeah, if you do watch us on YouTube, you know, jump in those comments, give us your theories, add
Thumbs
to
up.
Our predictions. Tell us you don't like our predictions and add a new one. You know, we want to hear what you guys are thinking. And yeah, give us a thumbs up. Candace is all about that extra like. And you guys can follow up with both of us on Twitter and Instagram. And me, you can follow me, Leslie Ambris, on Twitter and Instagram at In Less Than No Time.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Candace R. Cruz.
That's all we have. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.